Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The writer says, "We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." I want to talk this evening about getting something from the sermon. I'm going to take for granted the fact that we understand the importance of gathering together for worship. I'm also not going to argue the case for the regulative principle of worship, by which we understand what elements we ought to use in the worship of God. Nor am I going to argue for the place of the sermon as having the central place and being the high point of our worship services. All of those things are assumed this evening. I want to focus particularly upon the sermon and its important place in terms of us learning from it. We can agree that worship is important. We can attend worship services regularly and wholeheartedly. And we can give our attention to the sermons that are preached and yet still feel that we come away with empty hands, as it were, carrying little or nothing with us to sustain us in the days ahead. Now, it's not that God doesn't still work. In fact, I do believe that it's vitally important that we attend regularly the worship services of the church and are under the sound of the faithful preaching of God's word, as well as regularly being readers of the word ourselves. Even though we may come to the end of all of that and think, what have I learned? What have I gained? I believe that God does work slowly over time through that regular ministry and regular exposure to his word. He works in the very fabric of our lives so that almost imperceptibly a change takes place, both in the degree that we understand the scriptures and the degree to which we apply them to our lives. But I do think that we can do better than that. We ought not to be satisfied with the fact that God graciously and wonderfully works even when we perhaps are not particularly engaged. We need to be engaged. And I want to suggest to you this evening that there are three ways that we can improve what we get from the sermon. And really, it's from the whole service, but thinking of the sermon as the high point of the service and the point at which God particularly speaks to us, though he does so through the hymns and through the scripture reading and through the other elements of the service also. And the first thing is that we ought to prepare. We ought to prepare. We should prepare our bodies. We ought to get a good night's sleep. Perhaps the Jews were wise in having the day begin in the evening until the following evening, so that in a sense it began with sleep and rest and refreshment, so that they awoke ready and alert for the day. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, Jesus exhorted his disciples to watch and pray, lest they entered into temptation. And you remember the context, don't you, that what a day it had been for them. preparing for the Passover feast, and them all gathered together in the upper room, and Jesus coming to them and astounding them by his humility in stooping to wash their feet, and then astounding them still more by the disclosure that one of them was going to betray him, and then the shock at seeing Judas Iscariot walk out of that room to make his plans and preparations. And then the ministry that Jesus gave them in teaching them what was about to take place and praying for them. So much had taken place that day that they were emotionally exhausted and physically exhausted. And so they slept. They slept while Jesus prayed. They slept while Jesus was in agony. They slept because they were tired. They weren't watching and they weren't praying because the flesh was weak, even though the spirit may have been willing. And we cannot excuse our inattentiveness and say, well, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak, if we haven't prepared the flesh. If we haven't prepared our body to worship God and to be able to be attentive to hear his word, we also ought to prepare our hearts. We ought to ensure that we have settled unresolved issues. Jesus, again, teaching his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, told them that if they recall as they go to worship that they have an issue with a brother, they ought to get that issue resolved before they present their sacrifice to God. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, exhorts husbands to dwell with their wives with understanding, that their prayers might not be hindered. You see, how we are relating to the people around us affects our approach to God. And if we harbor sin in our hearts, that grieves the Spirit and may go so far as to quench the Spirit. So we need to prepare our hearts. And we need to prepare our minds. We need to be ready to receive the word of God. We can be so full of other thoughts. You remember the story of Mary and Martha and how Jesus was teaching his disciples, and right there in the midst of the disciples sitting at his feet was Mary, lapping up every word that he spoke. And there was Martha in the background grumbling and complaining about Mary because she wasn't pulling her weight and getting the food ready. And Jesus said to Martha that she was anxious about many things. And because of that, she neglected the one thing that was needful, to hear his voice. And so we need to prepare our minds to be attentive to the voice of Jesus Christ through his word. Prepare your body, prepare your heart, prepare your mind. And all of that takes time, doesn't it? We need to be ready, not in the 5 minutes before the service starts, but that preparation needs to start earlier. So we must prepare. And then we must participate. And we can do that in a number of ways as well. Obviously, if we're going to participate, we need to be present. And I know that live streaming is a great gift that we have when we're not able to be present in person, but it doesn't replace attendance in person. To be present in body, but also in spirit. And you know, sometimes we can be present in body and not in spirit. In the rush of a Sunday morning, when all the best laid plans seem to unravel, we are coming to meet with God. It's not simply a club that we're attending. It is the worship of God that we're attending. So we ought not to be rushed. We know it's happening and we know what time it's happening. And life gets in the way at times. But it ought not to be the rule that we're late and that we're rushed. If that is the way that things work out in your home, then allow extra time for the rush and the dust to settle, so that you can come and be present, not only in bodily, a little bit dishevelled, but with a spirit that isn't dishevelled as well, and is ready to meet with God, and to worship him, and to hear from him. So we know that we oughtn't to forsake assembling ourselves together, as is the manner of some, as the writer of Hebrews tells us. But it's not just being present, it's how we are present that matters. And so not only are we to be present, but we are to be engaged. Engaged in the whole service. Engaged in the singing, not simply mouthing words and humming the tune as well as we can, but thinking about the words that we're singing. And listening to the prayers that are prayed. And hearing the word that is read and spoken. And seeing and tasting it in the elements of the Lord's Supper, having given attention to what is taking place in all of that. To be participants in the service isn't a passive thing. It's an active thing. In every element, and that includes the sermon. So that when it's time for the sermon, it's not a matter of folding our hands and closing our eyes and having a little nap and hoping that something seeps into the grey matter somehow. But to be attentive, to listen, to be focused, to be undistracted. And, you know, it's easy to be distracted, isn't it? A sound, a movement, a thought. But we need to be aware that there can be distractions and we need to work hard at refocusing, reining in our thoughts, turning our attention once again to the preacher and what he is saying. And it might be that for you, taking notes is a way of helping you to focus, but I advise caution even there, because the preaching of the Word of God isn't just about words that you hear through your ears. As Lloyd-Jones would say, it takes the whole man to preach, and so you need to be attentive to the whole man, the expressions on his face as well as the words that he's speaking. His mannerisms as well, though sometimes they can be more of a distraction than an addition to the sermon, I acknowledge. But to give our full attention to the sermon means to be thinking about what is being said and how it meets my life and engages in who I am and where I am and what I am. And that takes thought beyond writing down a few words. And so the more extensive your notes are, the more likely you are to actually miss out on the message of the sermon, because you're so full of writing down a sentence that you miss five, unless you can do shorthand. But the other thing with that is, will you ever look at them again? Will you ever take them up and read them again? Or the notebook gets put away until next Sunday and then you drag it out and you write some more notes and then it gets put and that gets full and you buy a new one and then you carry on. We need to participate. And then we need to propagate, to foster a growing knowledge and familiarity and acceptance of the things that we've been hearing. And so As we think about that, we're thinking about how we are able to take what we have heard, what we have listened to, and make it a part of who we are, so that it goes down deep into our hearts, into our lives. It takes root in us and becomes fruitful in us. So while I've advised caution about taking extensive notes, here's something I do suggest. Perhaps in the few minutes at the end of the service, write something down. Then, perhaps later in the day when you can give it a little more thought, here are three questions to ask. What informed you? What did you learn from what was said? Was there something new there that you hadn't considered before? A perspective, an angle that tweaked your attention and made you think? Write it down. Was there something that particularly encouraged you? A sight of the Saviour, a view of his work, the promises that he has made, something that particularly spoke to you at this moment, this point in your life? Write it down. Was there something that challenged you? Something that made you feel uncomfortable? Something that caused you to think, well, I'm not sure I'm doing that? Write it down. So just a few things written down so that you can recall them later. A few things written down that set them in a kind of a concrete way before you, before other things take over. Now, that's not to ignore the people around you or any visitors that might be around that need to be welcomed. But if there's the opportunity, just a couple of minutes, write these things down. And then talk about them. Rehearse those things with the people around you over coffee, rather than talking about how wet it was and how flooded the river was and how your week has gone and how terrible things are in the office and all of those sorts of things that are a legitimate part of our conversations, perhaps, but they're not helping to propagate the word of God in your life. They're not building others up. So make a conscious decision to talk about the sermon. Talk about those three questions you asked. What informed you? What encouraged you? What challenged you? Talk about it with the preacher. Perhaps there's something that you weren't clear about. Then ask him. Ask him after the service, or ask him during the week at a favourable opportunity. Don't be afraid to say, I didn't get what you were trying to say there. Can you explain it a little bit more clearly? And if you thank the preacher, try to say why. Oh, that was a great sermon, Pastor. So what? How was it great? Try to be specific. Thank you for that. It encouraged me in this way, or it challenged me in that way. I'd never thought about this particular thing before. Thank you for unfolding that to me. It gives me food for thought during the week ahead. Talk about it, because talking about these things clarifies and reinforces them in our minds, and they're not so quickly forgotten then. When we've rehearsed a truth that we've learned, an encouragement that has been given, a challenge that we've faced, it helps to solidify it in our own thinking, so that in the days that lie ahead, we mull over those things, because they're the things that we reminded ourselves about immediately afterwards. And then pray about it and meditate on it through the week. Talk to God about what you learned. Thank God for the encouragement that he has given you through his word. Ask God to help you to respond to the challenge that you felt under the preaching of God's word. When we gather to worship, we ought to gather in a prayerful expectation that we will hear God's voice. We shouldn't habitually be leaving worship services wondering what God said. And particularly if we're listening attentively to the preaching of the word, we will hear his voice and we will know what he said, so that our lives will be transformed and we will become a testimony to the glory of his grace. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do want to be a people who are more attentive to your voice. We don't want to be those who hear and forget. We don't want to be those who are challenged but neglect to respond to the challenge. We don't want to be a people who, through a lack of confidence in you and in your word, are apathetic when we approach it, not expecting to hear your voice. And so we pray that you would help us to gather together for the preaching of your word, having prepared our bodies, hearts, and minds, ready to participate in every aspect of worship and to get it. Be attentive under the preaching of your word, so that we might be informed and encouraged and challenged, that we might share that with others, and that it might become ingrained in our hearts and minds and lives and produce fruit for your glory. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.